Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, where coming up in 20 minutes, you're going to hear from Jeff Brohm, Purdue head coach, who was the victim of one of the worst pass interference calls you could possibly see, a play that took the win away from Purdue and gave it to Minnesota tonight. This play has exploded on the internet in the past hour or so. It's a really terrible call. It was a touchdown pass thrown by Jack Plummer to Payne Durham with 44 seconds left in the game. Durham is called for PI, never makes contact with the defensive back. In coverage, he kind of swats at him with his hand, never makes contact with him. It is one of the worst calls you could possibly see. And we're going to get into that coming up in a few minutes. But let me just say this, because you know, we talked to Pete Futak last hour, a big college football insider. He said, you know, yes, it was a horrible call, but Purdue had chances to win the game and they blew some plays. And the thing is, I understand that philosophy, Mike, is that, well, hey, you know, hey, you could have done this, you could have done this, you could have done this. There are certain things where I will agree with you and say, all right, yeah, no, I agree. Well, boy, you blew that, you blew that, you blew that. But over the course of a game, there's many plays that each team leaves on the field, no matter how good you are. You know, you can be the best team in the world, but boy, you left a big play out there here. You left this play here. You missed a field goal here. You blew a coverage here. That just happens in the ebb and flow of every football game. Mm-hmm. This is one of those plays where it was a big play that was made. It was a big-time throw made by Plummer. They did everything right. It's a clutch drive at the end of the game with 40 seconds left. This call cost them the game. An interception happens a play later, and so Minnesota kneels on the football instead of Purdue with a four-point lead and 40 seconds left, kicking off and thinking, we're going to win this football game. This is one of those times where I go, that play cost them the game. Yes, there were plays after, and there were still 40 seconds left, but you made the big play. You made a big play. That was a big play. That was a big throw. It was a big drive, and it got taken away from you for no reason. That's why sometimes I can say I hear you on the you could have done X, Y, and Z, but not this one. This is, boy, no. You really got hosed.
No, and I'll listen to it, and then I'll categorically reject it on the basis of this. I'll put it bluntly. That's great for film review. Right? You can do anything you do in your life, you can do a million things wrong. But when you do it right, they can't deny you. Right? You may hate every decision I make and every take I ever have on the show. But when I get it right, I get it right. And you can't take that away from me. Right? How many times did you do poorly in a lot of stuff in a class and then you did really well on the one big test that should turn over your grade? Did the guy suddenly just say, nah, you know what? I'm not buying it. Maybe he did an inquiry to find out whether you cheated, but he had to accept the results. Likewise here, you can tell me for all you want. Brohm and the coaches have a million things to work on. Here's where they failed here. Here's a bad penalty and a bad decision, you know, overreaction here. Here's a false start. Here's a rushing play where the running back clearly missed a gaping hole. Here's the field goal kickers. He's a college kicker. By definition, he's going to screw up at least one kick out of every two or three that he puts up. That's just what they do. I mean, the NFL isn't much better. So if you want to tell me Brohm's got a long couple of days of practice to go through all the things they botched, I'll hear it. But if you tell me that somehow makes getting screwed over on a call like that okay because they missed other opportunities, I cancel that noise on me. We're just going to disagree till I'm blue in the face, which I'm starting to get, because really that kind of that logic fails all smell tests in my eyes.
All right, take a drink. You okay? Are you okay there, buddy?
I'm okay. I just
want to make sure.
But that logic, and look, I wasn't going to scream at Pete. He's got his opinion. We could do that. Like, well, we could have that debate another time.
Pete Futak told us he had Minnesota. He picked them, and that's how he picked them with the points. So that was why the reason he was okay with it, because
he eventually conceded that. He didn't lead with that.
I get
that. That would have helped to lead. But just from the discussion of that play, saying, there were other things they left on the field. Sure. How many NFL games do we say, well, here's a play here, here's a play here? I mean, we were talking about it last night, right, in doing our DK Metcalf take that suddenly became a big deal today about him being the best. Funny how that works.
We told you last night. We're going to talk about DK Metcalf and is he the best receiver in the NFL, what he's got to work on. Ta-da! It's everywhere today. Information is free.
But what did I talk about as part of the analysis? He's got to be more consistent, right, in terms of the drop touchdown pass, and there was another first down play. Likewise, on the other side, right, you had some muted numbers for DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray missed him on one rollout that I'm thinking of in particular. I forget the down or distance. Either way, I thought Hopkins was going to go and body slam him or do a Goldberg spear. Because he was wide open with a field of green in front of him, right? He was cutting across and would have been able to just turn and go up the sideline, gets one little block on the outside from a receiver to help, and he's got a big gain. That one gets left on the field. So we could do that. We could do that all day of, all right, we could have done that. How many times do you hear he'd like to have that one back
after
a missed deep ball or an interception? Yeah, no kidding.
He'd like that. That's a Phil Sims one. He'd like to have that one back. Thanks, Phil. That's a Phil Sims comment. Boy, I'd like to have that one back. Boy, you got to complete that one. You got to complete that one.
Broadcast school really paying off for you there, Monty.
So we'll have more on this. You'll hear from Jeff Brohm coming up in about 12 minutes or so, I would say. But clearly NBA free agency owning the night so far, and there's been a lot of moves around. There's been some money given away. De'Aaron Fox got a big max extension with the Sacramento Kings for $163 million in 5 years. But so far, you have to say the early winners of free agency clearly are the world champion Lakers. All right, you throw in the trade they made for Dennis Schroeder already, who's going to come in, who's a young point guard that can put points on the board, and he's going to be a big thing. Tonight, they looked like they were going to keep Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard, the deal wasn't close to what he wanted it to be, so he decided to go to the 76ers. Okay, the Lakers apparently now have their eyes on Marc Gasol to come in and play a few minutes, which, okay, that's fine too. But the big moment of the night, the biggest free agent signing by far when it comes to how it's going to affect the league this next year, the Lakers get Montrezl Harrell, the reigning sixth man of the year, for a 2-year deal away from the LA Clippers. According to his agents, he turned down more money from a team in the East to stay in Los Angeles. And look, he's a Clutch Sports guy. So, of course, Clutch Sports, Rich Paul, you have that in with the Lakers already. Everybody's going to be a Clutch Sports guy. Everybody is. Whether you're a Clutch Sports guy coming in or if you have your own agent, they're going to say, listen, how do you like your agent? Oh, he's great. You're firing him. You're coming to Clutch Sports. But you want to play on the Lakers? Yeah, you're firing your guy. Okay, I'll do it. So they bring Montrezl Harrell in, and he's instant offense off the bench. He's 27. This is a guy you go out and get. And what the Lakers have done now is they have solved their issues coming off of the offseason, which is, all right, what do we need to do? Signing that third star wasn't what was needed. It was, let's make sure our next level of talent behind LeBron and AD are younger and they're a little bit more potent and have a lot of firepower. Because basically at the end of the year, it was LeBron and AD, and then the next eight guys were interchangeable. And it worked. It worked because everybody had their role. The Lakers peaked at the absolute right time. And it was fantastic to see. And really, when you have LeBron and AD who are made to play together, they cover up a lot of things. You only need the supporting cast for a little bit of time here and there to come through for a while, which is why if Rondo had a big half, it was okay. If Caruso had a big quarter, it was okay. If KCP had a big quarter, it was okay. So that's how it worked for the Lakers. But now it's LeBron and AD, and then, hey, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell. Now, without giving up anything, they have built in a pretty good level below that. And not just bringing in firepower and Rich getting richer, but this was done specifically, and you know this is why it was done. is LeBron is going to play less minutes next season. All right, we know that. It's just going to happen, especially if you're talking about a season in which fans aren't allowed in, or it's going to be a smaller amount of fans allowed in where home court advantage really doesn't matter as much. LeBron is going to sit because it doesn't matter if the Lakers finish sixth or if they finish second. It really makes no difference. So he's going to play much less minutes next year. This means they need more firepower. They need more points on the board when LeBron doesn't play. Schroeder's a guy that does that, and so Montrezl Harrell does that as well. So they brought in people who are going to be able to fill it up when LeBron James plays less, and that's going to keep him fresh for the playoffs moving on. And so these moves are kind of done hand in hand. Let's go out. We got to get these guys because we're going to make things a little bit easier on LeBron next year. This is a huge win for the Lakers across the board.
So is Clutch Sports a presenting sponsor of the Lakers now? Is that the way this works?
That's what it's going to be. Clutch Sports presents the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, I like that.
There's going to be a patch of Rich Paul's face on the uniform this year.
Oh, see, now that's next level.
Yeah. You laugh, but Rich Paul is listening right now going, oh, I like that. Hang on. My face on a patch on the Lakers uniform. I like that.
Yeah, but a couple of things to extend on there. I mean, one, it'll be curious to see KCP, does he, go and take less money to stick around? Right? Because based on where they're at salary-wise, he could probably do better elsewhere. So that's question number one. And then I just wanted to expand on the Dwight Howard for a second. that they had a deal sketch or a sketch deal or however you do it. It sounds funny. But just the idea that they had an offer and it was just a framework. It was nothing concrete. And he got mad and left. And I have a feeling that you already had a couple of players, including LeBron James, who said, look, we got the best we're getting out of Dwight. So move on. Would be my guess, right? The talk of, hey, I'm not going to play for free again. They wanted more. He didn't really get much in the way of the Philadelphia deal. So that's part of the equation as well. And then for Montrezl Harrell, just turned 27 years old, 18-7. You get to flip off the Clippers and say, all right, we got your guy. And, right, what does it say about the Clippers and what they are? Right? Because we'd heard talk of the lack of leadership, camaraderie, all of those things being an issue for this squad, right? Because Kawhi's not a vocal guy. It's a do as I do kind of situation. So you weaken them on the court just in pure talent, but you also took out a guy that obviously looked around and having been in the bubble and just been around those Laker players as long as he had, I equated it to the Jerry Maguire moment of, tapping and going, hey, why don't we have what they're, while Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Cruise are hugging, why don't we have that? Right? And Jay Moore turns and he tries to hug him, and it doesn't quite work so well. I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting the sense of the way this went down for Montrezl Harrell. It's part of, hey, I want to go win a title, but
yeah.
Hey, look at what these guys got over here.
But I wonder if now, because this is my thought for the Clippers, is you let him go and for a 2-year deal and he went across the hall. You were okay with letting him go to the East. You're okay with letting him go across the hall to the Lakers now. I wonder if we're going to see the Clippers roster really get blown up because he's the guy you want to keep around. Unless behind the scenes it was, boy, Harrell pissed a lot of people off for reason X, Y, and Z. And some of the rumors you're hearing about whatever goes on in the locker room, that Harrell's name is involved in them. Because there's no reason why you would let him go. He's a guy you would build around. Right? He's young enough. You give him that kind of money because he's good. And you let him go for nothing. Like, it's not like you got outbid where it's all, we can't give that guy that kind of money. So I wonder if this is going to be like a culture change for the Clippers where, look how close we are, but we're really not as close as you think. So you're going to see a big overhaul. Maybe you see Paul George get dealt. Maybe you see other guys go too, and it's not going to be quite the Clippers team that we thought we were going to get coming into the season, and you're going to see a lot of guys change addresses. I see that tonight, and I think that's kind of where the Clippers are headed.
A lot of notes saying, hey, the players inside that Clippers locker room, that they're shocked and trying to figure out exactly what the next steps are coming out of this. They did retain Marcus Morris, by the way, though.
They're keeping Marcus Morris, yes. He was a good guy.
4 years, $64 million.
We're going to keep him for four and 64. Amazing. But the sixth man of the year, we're going to let go for a two-year deal.
I'm out. Just,
really. Twitter at how about a fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. So really, clear winners are the Lakers. Boy, clear losers so far are the Clippers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. And we got a big baseball story coming your way in a little bit. We could see a huge star, future Hall of Famer mid-career, wind up joining the Dodgers sometime in the next couple of weeks. But clearly outside of the NBA and free agency that's going on, we saw a play tonight that is now gaining steam like wildfire throughout the country. Purdue and Minnesota tonight. Thankfully, it wasn't from Syracuse and Louisville because, boy, I was so happy to start the show tonight and not have to talk about that game. Oh, my God.
I think I had them roll in every one of Louisville's scores.
Thanks. All the field goals.
I'm going home now, by the way, by the time that runs out.
You rolled in all of Syracuse's scores tonight, too, right? You rolled in those?
Yeah, we're done. You just heard them.
Man, I'll tell you. It is just
Dino Babers.
Oh, man, listen, we're still on track to get Trevor Lawrence, right? We have one win, okay? Think about this.
Slap a different logo on an orange helmet. He's ours now.
You know, think about me for a second, okay? My football teams, it is now late November. I just had my birthday, and my two football teams have a grand total of one win, yeah. All right? So just think about me for a second. One win. One win. We played 9 weeks in the NFL. We played 9 weeks of college football. I got one win. Not five, not six, which would, boy, that's a bad season. No, I got one win. I got one win. One.
Sorry, buddy.
One.
I got an undefeated team and then one that, is spiraling back to a fiery crash.
Man. But I'll tell you, this game tonight comes down to the final minute. And maybe you got to see it, you know, nationally televised, Purdue and Minnesota. Minnesota holding on to a 34-31 lead. But Purdue with the football driving with less than a minute left to go. There's 44 seconds left to play. And Jack Plummer looks like he potentially wins the game for Purdue with a game-winning touchdown pass until he doesn't.
Plummer throws to the end zone, and that pass is caught! Touchdown, Boilermakers! There's a flag down. What's the flag?
They're saying incomplete.
No, the official in the back says touchdown.
And the official up the front said incomplete.
Let's see if they're going to call maybe a pass interference against Purdue. What's the call here?
Pass interference offense, number 87.
Well, that's an interference call against Payne Durham, which wipes out what would have been the go-ahead touchdown with 52 seconds to play. And it also is a 15-yarder, so it's going to take it all the way back to the 34-yard line.
I have not seen the replay. I'm not going to say a word.
We're going to get a look at it here.
Well, I saw Minnesota grab Durham's arm.
There's nothing there.
Unbelievable.
There's nothing there.
Unbelievable.
He ran right by the defensive back and didn't even touch him.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Purdue Radio Network on the call, Learfield IMG. And you watch this play, and there is zero pass interference. Okay, Durham releases from the line of scrimmage. He has a DB on him who tries to close. He runs a flag route, right? He runs down the middle of the field, and then he cuts towards the corner of the end zone. And at about 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, the DB gets close to him. And as he's running, you see Purdom kind of wave his right arm a little bit at the DB because he wants to, you know, swim by him. There's no contact. There's no contact on the play. The ball is thrown. It's a beautifully thrown ball by Plummer, and it's a touchdown. And the flag comes in late, so I don't know if the referee is even throwing the flag for the little one arm move, which doesn't look like it does anything to the play. And yes, and again, go back to when I just said, he didn't come in contact with him, didn't even touch him. The flag goes in, it takes the touchdown away. A play later, Plummer throws a pick, and Minnesota Minnesota kneels on the football, and they wind up losing the football game 34-31. It was as bad a call as you could possibly imagine, and it's one of those things where it's a Friday night, and there's not a lot of live sporting events going on, so this game is on, this happened, and it just so happened to be a game and a highlight that everybody in sports saw, so that's why it's making its way around. It's one of those phenomenons that sometimes you see things explode, and you go, I don't know why that became such a big story, and in other ones you go, this is going to be a huge story, and you go, I don't know why that wasn't a big story. It's just the perfect timing for this to be that kind of story. Now, before we get into a little bit more, let's listen here from Jeff Brohm, Purdue head coach, who was fuming on the sideline after the play happened, after the flag was thrown. Here he is following the game, his thoughts on the phantom PI call.
I don't like it a lot, but I can't really comment on it. It's part of the game, and you know, we got to move forward. But yes, I didn't like it at all. I did not get a good explanation, but your guess is as good as mine. We didn't make enough plays to win. We didn't stop them enough. We didn't score enough points. So we'll take the loss, and we'll try to move forward. But yes, that was disappointing to not get that touchdown.
Boo, boo. Come on, tell us how you really feel. Don't give me a bunch of classy stuff and look like a classy guy. It's Friday night, man. This is made for people drinking whiskey and hanging out and going, "Arr, look at all these big things that happened against me in my life." No, no, no. That's a comment for like a Tuesday. Hey, it happened. I didn't like it at all. Yeah. No, no, no. Give me the fire and brimstone. How pissed you are. I'm sure everybody would have wound up chipping in money to pay whatever fine you got from college football.
Well, many people have offered. It comes down to, can you get within 6 feet of him with a recording device that picks up whatever he's yelling to assistants, family, friends, or whoever he's talking to right now in this moment? Because that's the gold you're going to get. I would like to make note of the fact that after the play and the penalty was ruled, you had For Whom the Bell Tolls, if my ears heard correctly, playing in the back. And I like the really Brahms explanation reminded me of a famous cartoon that we've seen rebooted, and I celebrate it. The old there's a lot to do with the people that created it that you can't like, can't condone, and there's problems. But you go back to some of the craziness that was Ren and Stimpy, and you had the Mr. Horse. How do you feel about this? No, sir. I don't like it. And that's really what Brohm said here. You know, he's not going to get fined. He'll make a call or send an audio tape or maybe just do a little Periscope video that he sends to the league office and the conference office and says, "Hey, Kevin Warren, this stinks. You just robbed me and ruined the sanctity of this game." That's the word he should have used.
You love using the word sanctity. I think that's like, do you use that during the day, like with your kids? Because yeah, that's like your one of your default words, like sanctity.
Well, we all have our crutch words. Mm. And rather than say and and a lot of you knows, I'd rather say sanctity.
Well, you know, I think sanctity is a pretty good word.
It's better, right?
Sanctity
is
a very good word.
It's a better explanation.
It works out good.
And it gives it some gravitas, as it were. But, you know, for Brohm, I get it. Politically and, you know, for the league and making sure you don't get yourself screwed by a call down the road. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, look, referees are human. Believe it or not, right? And those, certainly those defending that it happened and trying to dismiss it as, well, you know what, it's not changing the world. It's like, no. You got a team and you got a coach and a coaching staff and guys that are trying to build their resumes to maybe have big careers here. All those wins matter, right? You may say, whatever, it was this November day in 2020. You know what? 5 years from now when they're applying to another job and having conversations. Yeah, you were part of that crazy year when you guys went 7-1, right? And now you have another loss that robs you of that possibility of going on a tear. So, yes, it is kind of a big deal. It does ruin the sanctity of what you're trying to do when you have a phantom call in the end. And as we talked about before, no amount of woulda, shoulda, couldas of things that did or didn't do the rest of the game makes up for the fact that they got screwed here.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up in 90, that big NFL quarterback decision that got made much differently than we thought it was going to be earlier today. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. So you probably saw this earlier today in a move that was pretty surprising, because when we found out Drew Brees was going to be out for the Saints, Jameis Winston most likely was going to become the quarterback. Taysom Hill would play a little bit. I thought, all right, it's going to be 65-35. Like, Jameis is going to play, and Taysom Hill will play 30-35% of the time. He'll get full series at quarterback, but is he really ready to play a whole game at quarterback? I don't know. Well, Sean Payton turned that on its ear today by announcing that Taysom Hill is going to be the starter Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. Jameis Winston will only play in offensive packages if there is an injury to Hill. So now what we thought was going to be is now completely flipped. So first we have the why, and then we have the hidden thing that is going to be the most interesting part about this story. Look, I get putting Taysom Hill out there. He has been an itch they've wanted to scratch for a long time. All right, Taysom Hill has been very good. Look, friend of the show. He's been on the show like three times.
Yeah,
we've had
was.
Taysom Hill on
anytime
on the show.
There was a Thursday night or Monday night game, he popped on.
He'd come on and talk to. Oh, he was Taysom Hill's great guest, and you know, he's got such a and he's got a talent level that you really want to see what he can do. Like, he's a really good weapon right now, being able to do things and throw the football and catch passes and everything out of the backfield, lineup is in the slot. He's been a phenomenal weapon for the Saints. But with this likely being Breeze's last year, look, he signed for this year. This is going to be it. Breeze is now on IR for the next 3 weeks. With that happening, they want to see Taysom Hill. It's like, you know what? All right. Yeah, we should put Jameis out there because Jameis, you know, look, the guy threw for 5,000 yards last year and 30 touchdowns. But if we're going to go forward after this year and it may be Taysom Hill, we really want to see it, because this is our chosen guy. This is the guy we have picked and we've groomed and we thought he's going to succeed Drew Brees. So I completely get wanting to see him. 100%. I get wanting to see him in here, Mike. But the thing that gets me about this is that the statement is Jameis Winston is only going to play if there's an injury to Taysom Hill. That's something else is happening that we're not aware of in New Orleans, because that's not how you handle it when you have a guy who supposedly is going to be the next quarterback if everything is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Because you would have gotten a statement from the Saints of, we're going with Taysom, we want to see what he's got, we love Jameis, but we're going to go here, and certainly Jameis will be ready if his number is called. That's what you say. That's what you say publicly when you don't want to ruin the confidence of your quarterback, you don't want to make it a story where, why are you not going to Jameis Winston? But just that bit, that's all we got from the Saints, is he's only going to play if there's an injury. Something's going on down there, and why they're not going to Jameis Winston, and why this is so, it's Taysom Hill and that's it for now. Because even if you wanted to go with Taysom Hill, you want to make sure that Jameis is in the right frame of mind. Hey, you got to go in and play, have a positive attitude, and be ready to go and be able to save the team and be someone that we think we believe in. Instead, right now, Jameis is walking around going, they don't believe in me at all. Right, that's all they say, but he's only going to play if the guy gets hurt. Wow, okay, great. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. I'm a guy that's thrown for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. Well, and 30 picks too, but let's ignore that. So, right. And wait, I don't get to play here? You really think that's going to, you know, he's going to be okay with that and it's going to be an okay situation? Something is up down there, and why it was done the way it was today.
Well, I'm still waiting to find out how it's actually been done until they're on a football field Sunday. This is all just, you know, barking on the wind. Right? Because we talked to Jay Glazer last night, talked all about the Teddy Bridgewater situation of a year ago, and he didn't lead me to believe in anything he told us that Taysom Hill was going to be the guy. Maybe he got duped. I don't know. We'll talk to him after this game gets played. But Sean Payton even coyly said in his addressing the media, I haven't named a starter, and just kind of shrugged. So, you know, there might just be a little bit of, hey, you guys go and prepare for two very different players. Have fun with that. But they did pay Taysom Hill a lot of money, so to give him a shot against a bad Atlanta defense would make sense, right? Maybe improving Atlanta defense at this point. But let's face it, early on this season, they were non-existent. They were the Raiders before last week, when suddenly they had a handful of turnovers generated. So I'm curious to see how it plays. Yeah, Jameis Winston went there to get the master's class, but that normally means you also have to, you know, have a practicum. You have to have a couple of things where you get to show off what you've learned for the semester. And to this point, I'd probably be a little bit ticked if I'm legitimately not part of the game plan. So we'll see. We've got, about 34 hours or so before that one's going to kick off to find out exactly what's happening. And I still wouldn't be surprised to see Jameis Winston taking snaps over the course of that game with or without Taysom Hill injury. And by the way, Trevor Siemian also got promoted.
Hey, so, congratulations, buddy. Congrats on that, getting your former Northwestern Wildcat.
Well, you know what? I got to take the wins where we get them. But, yeah, this one's an interesting situation, right, with Taysom Hill. We'll see at some point, whether it's this week or another, what he is and why they paid him the money to be the Swiss Army knife. I do know it caused chaos in a lot of fantasy football leagues as to whether he's eligible as a quarterback and a tight end, because in some leagues he's also a tight end, which means the unintentional super flex comes into a lot of leagues this week.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. Coming up next, are the Dodgers about to add a superstar in name only, or are they going to add a superstar to their payroll? Find out next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Da-dang, 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 da-dang. Oh, sorry, the mic's on. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. We have more NBA, NFL coming up in about 10 minutes, but as the NBA hits free agency tonight, and then clearly the big move has been the Lakers swiping away Montrezl Harrell from the L.A. Clippers, there's a lot of talk that it could be a fait accompli that the Dodgers are going to land Nolan Arenado at some point by Christmas. Many MLB insiders think this is that Dodgers have made their decision. They are desperate to add a right-handed bat. Arenado's a guy, look, the guy's a gold glove. He's been phenomenal. The guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Justin Turner's contract is up. They could get younger and bring in a potential superstar. And many insiders said, look, this is what's going to happen. The Dodgers are going to wind up with Nolan Arenado. This is a great move, but is it the incredible move people think it is? It's not quite that, because as good as Arenado is, right, and clearly his fielding is going to, you know, take, you know, travel easily from one field to another, you can't ignore what Arenado's done at Coors Field and away from home. All right, now this is, you have a big sample size now. The guy's 29 Absolutely. Years old. If you are playing his career numbers at home at Coors Field, if he played every game at Coors Field, he would average 38 home runs, 130 RBIs, he'd hit .322, and his OPS would be .985. Those are his numbers at Coors Field. He'd average 38, 131, 322, 985. That's a guy I'll give $35 million a year to. But his numbers on the road, 28 home runs, 85 RBI, it's .263, his OPS is just below 800. All right, now these aren't awful numbers. These are not, hey, as a Mets fan, oh, I love these numbers.
Sure.
You know, but there's a big difference between 38, 131, 322, 985, and 28, 85, 263, and 793. There's about 40 guys in Major League Baseball that can do that for you, right? Yasiel Puig did that in 2019. Are you giving him $35 million a year? Javi Baez, Edwin Encarnacion, Kevin Pillar. These are all guys that will give you 28, 85, and hit .260. And their OPS will be around 800. These are good. I mean, this is a good year. I'd take that from anybody. But is this a $35 million a year player? No. It's why the Phillies paying for Bryce Harper. I'm like, that's what Bryce Harper does. 28, 90, hits about .260, .270. It's a good year. It's a good year. It's solid production. It's what you want. But is that a $35 million a year guy? It simply isn't. So adding Arenado, hey, it'll be good. You'll replace but it's like plugging Justin Turner right back in, except you're paying him an extra $25 million a year for the next 5 years. That's something I'm not down with, and I don't think that's going to wind up being a deal that's going to come as it ages over 5 years. If that's what the Dodgers wind up doing, that's not going to be something that is going to be friendly to them as time goes on.
Bad money for the overall package of it. Look, it's not my money, so if that's what you want to do, you want to spend. Dodgers obviously being one of the teams One of the few teams in position, even with layoffs, even with everything that's transpired there the last week. And I don't mean to dismiss it because I feel for all those folks that lost their gigs this past week. But the idea that you always have more cash to go buy another player if you want. Maybe coming out of the pandemic, you take a little different approach, and it's not that they've been spend happy in their history. That's certainly not what I'm suggesting. But if you decided this is the guy that keeps this train moving, more so than trying to eke another year or two out of Justin Turner, then you go do it, right? Turner, a lot of his value he's great for the team, and has obviously done a lot of big things with his bat, glove, you know, and whatever. But his bigger community is, you know, he's one of the faces of your team in the community and the city with all he does. So that's a huge loss that you feel to a degree. But on the field, when we look at the home road splits, yeah, it's certainly eyebrow raising. And you only face Dodger pitchers for part of that road splits, because it'd be easy to say, hey, I'm in a powerhouse division, right? Nah, rest of the division pitching has been pretty porous through the years. So, look, I like big splashes, and there's a lot of big names on the market. We'll see if this one comes to fruition. Starting to get some heat.
Twitter at how about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. He'll be good, but he's not worth that kind of cash. Our best of podcast, don't forget, goes up right after the show is over on iTunes. You can download it, subscribe, listen. You'll love it. Coming up next, two big stories out of college football as we start getting into winning time. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio.